Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. This time, we're exploring bioelectricity and its role in healing and maybe even regeneration.
Wow, that's a pretty big claim right off the bat.
Well, that's exactly why we're diving into the body electric today. It's written by a real pioneer in the field, Dr. Robert Becker. And lucky for us, we have a bioelectricity expert here to help us unpack it all.
Happy to be here.
So, okay, let's get into this. We're talking about creatures like salamanders and hydras, you know, the ones that can regrow entire limbs.
Oh, yeah, those are incredible.
And even portions of their hearts.
It really does sound like science fiction, but these animals have been a puzzle for scientists for centuries. Can you imagine losing a finger and having it just grow back?
It's mind-boggling. Becker even talks about this 18th century scientist, Abraham Tremblay, who was experimenting with hydras. He was cutting them into pieces.
Oh, yeah, Tremblay. His work was truly groundbreaking.
And get this. Each piece grew into a whole new hydra.
It really shook things up back then, especially that old idea that organisms develop from tiny, preformed versions of themselves.
So basically, this tiny creature, the hydra, challenged centuries of scientific thought.
Absolutely. It really made people rethink the whole concept of life and development. Regeneration kind of threw a wrench in the works. So the big question became, how does it actually happen?
That's a great question. How did they even start to unravel that mystery?
There were two main things they were trying to figure out. First, where did the blastema come from? That's that cluster of cells that forms the new limb. And second, what triggered the regeneration process in the first place? A lot of the early research focused on nerves.
Well, like those experiments where they cut the nerves in a salamander's leg and the limb wouldn't regenerate?
Exactly. Back in the 1800s, Tweedy John Todd's work showed that without those nerves, no regeneration. Then in the 20th century, Piero Locatelli took it even further. She found that if you redirected a nerve, you could even trigger the growth of an extra limb.
That's incredible. So nerves are obviously playing a big role. But what about that trigger? What's actually sending the signal to regenerate?
Well, that was a real head scratcher for a long time. But then you have to consider the current of injury. You know, that electrical phenomenon they see in wounds.
Wait, so are you saying electricity is involved?
Absolutely. Our bodies are kind of like walking electrical circuits.
That's interesting.
The idea of animal electricity has been around for a while. Remember Luigi Galvani's experiments? Back in the 1700s, he made frog legs twitch with electricity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those experiments were pretty wild. I mean, it's not exactly how we understand nerve impulses today, but it definitely sparked some interest back then.
For sure.
Okay, so we've got these mysterious regenerative abilities, nerves are in the mix, and now we're throwing electricity into the equation. But how does it all connect?
That's where Dr. Becker's work really shines. He was ahead of his time talking about semiconduction in living systems. It's a different kind of electrical conduction. It's how small currents can travel long distances. Makes sense for biological systems, don't you think?
So instead of wires and circuits, we have semiconductors.
That's fascinating. But how did Dr. Becker even figure that out? He was working with his colleague, Dr. Bachman, and they were measuring electrical potentials in frog nerves, and they found something they weren't expecting.
Oh, really?
Their results pointed to semiconduction in living tissue. It was a pretty radical idea back then. Most people thought it was all about ionic currents.
So it's like our bodies are more like complex electronic devices than we ever realized. This is really making me rethink things. And what about bones? I mean, they seem so inert, but Becker talks about them having this surprising electrical role.
Oh yeah, bone is much more dynamic than it looks. Its structure, with collagen and appetite, actually creates a natural semiconductor.
Oh.
A PN junction diode, to be precise.
Hold on, a diode? I'm not sure I'm following. What does that even mean when we're talking about bones?
Think of it like a gatekeeper for electrical currents. This diode acts like a rectifier, controlling the flow of electricity within the bone.
Wow, so bone can actually control electrical currents. That's amazing. But how does that tie into, say, how bones grow and repair themselves?
Well, have you ever heard of Wolf's Law? It states that bones adapt and get stronger in response to stress, like weight-bearing exercises. It turns out those piezoelectric signals from the collagen fibers, when they're under pressure, are actually regulated by the bone's semiconductor properties. It's like it's guiding bone growth and adaptation.
So it's like our bones are using electricity to remodel themselves. They've got their own little electrical engineers inside. This is blowing my mind.
And there's more. Dr. Becker also made this incredible discovery about dedifferentiation. That's where mature cells can go back to a more primitive state. He actually triggered it in frog red blood cells using small direct currents.
Wait, so mature cells can essentially rewind their developmental clock using electricity. What does that even mean? Could this be the key to regeneration?
That's exactly what Dr. Becker was getting at. Imagine if we could manipulate that process. And here's where it gets really interesting. He also found that red blood cells were involved in fracture repair.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
So red blood cells are doing more than just carrying oxygen around. They're involved in healing and regeneration. That's incredible. But what about mammals, like us? Can we regenerate limbs too?
Now that is the million-dollar question. We might not be at the same level as salamanders, but there have been some pretty exciting findings. Dr. Becker and his team did some experiments with rats, and the results were electrifying, to say the least. Oh, they implanted these tiny silver platinum devices into the amputated limbs of rats.
The, like, little electrical stimulator.
Exactly. And those devices produced a small direct current, mimicking that natural current of injury we were talking about.
And get this, they saw significant regrowth. Bone, muscle, blood vessels, you name it.
Even nerves.
Wow, that's remarkable. But I bet a discovery like that raised some eyebrows in the scientific community.
You're absolutely right. There was a lot of skepticism. But some big names in regeneration research, people like Dr. Mark Singer, they saw the potential.
So maybe full limb regeneration in humans is still a ways off. But are there any examples where we see even a hint of that ability?
Well, there's that fascinating case of children who can regenerate fingertips after those accidental amputations.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
The nail bed seems to be key there. And again, electrical signals are probably involved.
At least there's hope for our fingertips.
Mm.
But what about more complex organs, like, say, the heart? Can damaged heart tissue ever regenerate?
Well, that's where our friend the salamander comes back into the picture. They can regenerate their heart tissue like it's nothing.
That's right. I'd almost forgotten about that.
Dr. Becker's research found that red blood cells are actually crucial in forming a new heart blastema. That leads to super fast repair of damaged heart muscle.
Hold on. Are you suggesting that we could regenerate damaged heart muscle in humans using what we've learned from salamanders?
It's definitely an area worth exploring. The possibilities are huge, especially for treating heart disease.
This is all so mind-blowing. But I have to ask, where does the mind fit into all of this? Becker talks about this mind-body connection and how it affects healing. What's that all about?
The mind-body connection is often overlooked, but it's a crucial piece of the puzzle.
I can see how it would be.
Dr. Becker describes these experiments where hypnotic suggestion could actually block pain.
Really? Just through hypnosis?
Yeah, and it did it by altering direct current potentials in the body.
So you're telling me hypnosis can actually change our body's electrical signals and essentially switch off pain? How is that even possible?
They think the paraneural system is involved. It's this network of cells around our nerves. It transmits electrical signals, and it can actually affect how we perceive pain. So this opens up a whole new possibility, using the mind through things like hypnosis or biofeedback to manage pain and even promote healing.
That's incredible. Our thoughts and beliefs can directly impact our physical well-being through these electrical pathways. It's like everything is connected.
Exactly. And it goes even deeper. Dr. Becker's work also looks at the broader influence of electromagnetism on life. Take Dr. Frank Brown, for instance. He studied those biological clocks in oysters and snails.
Oh, yeah. The ones that seem to sync up with the Earth's magnetic field and lunar cycles. I remember reading about that. It was fascinating.
That's right. It suggests this deep connection between living organisms and the Earth's electromagnetic environment. It affects everything from our sleep to how we navigate.
And speaking of navigation, what about those experiments with pigeons and bees showing they could actually use the Earth's magnetic field to find their way, like they have built-in compasses?
It's really amazing, right? They seem to use magnetic north as a reference point. Makes you wonder how they even perceive those magnetic fields and how that ability came about.
Makes you wonder if maybe humans had a similar magnetic sense at some point, something we've lost touch with over time.
Maybe so. But while we might have lost some of those innate electromagnetic abilities, our technology has created a whole new set of challenges. Dr. Becker was pretty concerned about the potential dangers of electropollution.
You're talking about all the electromagnetic radiation from our devices, power lines, and everything else. Yeah, that's definitely something people are thinking about more and more these days.
Exactly. And when you look at the research on the potential hazards of electromagnetic fields or EMFs, it's a bit concerning. There's evidence linking them to all sorts of issues. Stress, messed up sleep, weakened immune systems, and maybe even cancer.
It's a little unsettling to think that our reliance on technology could be inadvertently harming us.
One example that Dr. Becker highlights is the Sanguine Project. That was that massive ELF antenna the Navy wanted to build for submarine communication.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading about that. There were all those concerns about the potential impact on people and the environment.
It worried people, you know, those potential effects of the ELF radiation, especially since it would have operated at frequencies similar to the Earth's natural micropulsations. They ended up shelving the project, but it's a good reminder that we need more research and we need stricter safety standards when it comes to EMFs.
It definitely makes you think about the unintended consequences of our technological progress. We need to be way more aware of our electromagnetic environment and how it might be affecting life, both for us and for the planet. But I imagine doing this kind of research, especially when it challenges the status quo, must come with its own set of hurdles.
You're right about that. Dr. Becker talks openly about his own struggles, things like funding difficulties, bias in the peer review process, and pressure to conform to established scientific paradigms. Even groundbreaking research can face pushback, especially when it threatens to change the way we think.
It's a good reminder that the pursuit of scientific knowledge isn't always a straight path. Politics and economics play a role in what gets funded and what gets accepted by the scientific community.
Yeah, it really underscores the importance of staying curious and being open to new ideas, even when they challenge what we think we know. Dr. Becker's work is a perfect example of that. He wasn't afraid to explore the unknown, and his findings could totally change how we understand life itself.
It's really inspiring to see someone pushing those boundaries, even with all those obstacles in the way. So, as we wrap up this deep dive into the body electric, what are some of the key takeaways you hope listeners will remember?
I think the biggest one is that life is this incredible, intricate web of electrical interactions. These currents are flowing through us, connecting us to our environment, and they might even hold the key to unlocking our full regenerative potential.
It's like a whole new perspective on the human body and what it's capable of. It makes you wonder, what other mysteries are still out there waiting to be discovered?
Absolutely. And beyond the science itself, I hope listeners will take away a deeper appreciation for the connection between the mind and body. You know, how our thoughts and beliefs can actually influence our physical well-being.
That's something we often forget, the power of our own minds. And of course, we can't ignore the potential impact of the electromagnetic environment we've created.
Right. Dr. Becker's work is a call to action. He's urging us to be more mindful of our electromagnetic surroundings and to push for responsible technology use.
It's a good reminder that even as we advance technologically, we need to consider the consequences for our health and for all life on the planet. Well, this has been an absolutely electrifying deep dive.